Hi, this is Julie.
This is Liz.
This is Sheila.
This is Monica.
This is Leanne.
We are the Satellite Sisters.
You are listening to Satellite Sisters to Go.
We are the Satellite Sisters. Welcome to the show. It is the very last day of January 2016, January 31st. I am Liz Dolan. I'm in Santa Monica, California, with my sister Monica in Portland, Oregon. How's everything up there, Monica?
Great. Happy to join you guys today.
Glad to have you here. And Julie Dolan, you had a big week in Dallas, Texas. You moved, I hear.
Yes, Liz, I moved. I'm going to be telling you a little bit more about my move this week. Yes, very, very busy.
All right. Well, we do have quite a lineup for today's show. This is all things we put in the category we call it Satellite Sisters, the how was your week? You know, so we just have a lot of anecdotal whatevers about things that happened to us this week. I'm going to start off with a dramatic tale of midair mayhem that involved, you know, marshals and mayhem and, you know, always
a, it is.
Yes, just a terrible way to start the week, which turned out to become an increasingly terrible week for me. So just in case you're wondering how was my week, it was terrible. It was terrible. Okay, Julie, we're going to hear about your move. Uh-huh. Monica, inquiring minds, you're what, halfway through your 30-day Netflix trial?
More than halfway, Liz. I got 8 days to go. Here to report back on what I'm watching on Netflix.
Okay, people in the Satellite Sisters Facebook group are dying to know how that's working out for you. And you also went to the Portland Auto Show. Does that mean you're in the auto market?
I'm always shopping for a car. Not seriously, but I do enjoy going to the auto show.
Okay. All right. And Julie, you've got some kind of medical question.
I do. I have a medical situation. It's along the lines of your twitchy eye, Liz. You know, and we got some very solid advice and counsel from the Satellite Sisterhood. Well, I have a situation and I need some advice. Okay. I don't know what to do.
So you're crowdsourcing medical advice.
Yes. Why not?
That's excellent. And at the end of today's show, we want to remind you how you can celebrate a Galentine's Day. You know what that is. That's the day before Valentine's Day when you celebrate your friends. We think you're the best is a perfect way to celebrate that. So, all right. Can I start about what I was doing last Sunday at this exact time? Because last Sunday we were all otherwise occupied. I was traveling for work. Julie, you were traveling. Monica was busy. Everyone was working. And so Leanne posted a new episode from our You're the Best series. But, you know, in real life, I was, on a plane, or really I was in the airport most of the day because of the, snowstorm on the East Coast. All the planes throughout the whole country, there's that cascading effect that we are all familiar with. Uh-huh. The cascading effect meant that the very short flight that I was supposed to be taking from Salt Lake City to Los Angeles became a very long day sitting around the airport. And then you think like, okay, now we're moving. Now we're getting on the plane. Now everything's going to be better. This flight is only like, what, an hour and a half from Salt Lake City to LA. We are in motion now. Well, sadly, that was not to be the case. The plane was super packed. People were super cranky because of the delay. And there were a lot of people, like it felt like almost all the people were going to be missing connections in Los Angeles because of the Salt Lake City delay.
That's so depressing when you already know there's no chance.
I know. I know. And a lot of them, I felt so sorry. There was a whole little family in front of me, Julie. I was in 38C.
Oh, that sounds like a really good seat.
Yes. This exacerbated the whole situation. Just 38. Let's just imagine 38, but the family in front of me, not only were they missing their connection, they were missing their connection to a family vacation in Hawaii. There were a lot of people that were missing the Kona connection. And Monica, I'm sure you can just feel the heartbreak.
Heartbreak. I was like, you just want to get to Hawaii.
I know. At that point, you've been in the airport for quite a while. So anyway, people were cranky. People were crammed in there. And things, I thought that things were going to just carry on without incident until about 15 minutes before we were due to land. When the guy across from me, so 38, let's call it E, so middle seat, he can't stand it anymore in his seat. You know that feeling?
I know that feeling.
So I was somewhat sympathetic in the beginning. He just couldn't stand it anymore. And so he was reaching up and with his hands and arms, like putting his hands inside the plastic panels above your head and like using that piece of the plane to pull himself up out of his seat so that he could just stretch, so he could just stretch his big body. The poor guy was 6'8", I gotta say. So he's like stretching his body, but at the same time, like straining the plastic plane, the actual plane, right? So the first flight attendant comes by and says, "Sir, you can't really do that. That is dangerous. Please don't do that. It's our safety equipment in there. That's the oxygen masks." And he's like, "I need a bigger seat." He just starts chanting, "I need a bigger seat. I need a bigger seat."
And
totally losing it. Exactly. And she's like, "Sir, you just need to stop doing that. Please, you know, let go." We could all feel that we were already starting to descend. We were only 15 minutes out, but he just didn't have 15 minutes left in him, this guy. So she goes away. The moment she goes away, he does it again. He's reaching up. He's pulling down. He's pulling. Then so some other flight attendant comes by and says, "Sir, you're not allowed to do that." And he's like, "I need a new seat right now. I need you to give me a new seat right now."
Oh my God.
And, you know, and she's like, he was like, "No, sir, please, just, you know, we're going to be on the ground soon. We're not going to be moving anyone's seats now." And he's like, "This is ridiculous how small these seats are." Now he's yelling. And so people around are, you know, they're starting to yell back at him.
Really?
You know? Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Because
like, did you say anything?
No. What? You know how these situations can escalate.
Oh,
no way. So then it happens a third time. And that's when a woman like two rows behind yells, "We're landing anyway, shut up." So that sort of uncorked the whole back of the plane. Then at that point, so then naturally he does it one more time. And this time he breaks the plane. This time, yes, he pulls down the whole piece of plastic that is over his head, literally just breaks the plane. And okay, so now a flight attendant comes back, and when it snapped with a very loud noise, you know, yeah, that the plastic was really, and people like screamed. people were really on edge, and so there was this little bit of screaming, and so a flight attendant comes back, sees what has happened, and is like, "Sir, now you've gone over the line. I just need you to stay right here. Please don't move," as if he was going to move anyway. "And, you know, please, everyone just remain calm." So he disappears. He comes back and he says, "Sir, when we land, I'm going to need you to talk to the pilot. When you get to the front of the plane, the pilot wants to talk to you." And this guy's like, "Great, because I have a few complaints, because this is this is ridiculous." And I'm turning, now everyone's talking to their seatmates, right? Because it's out of control. So I turn to my seatmates. It's like, this dude doesn't even realize he's getting arrested. He thinks it's like a customer service call. He's like so arrested.
Like they're going to give him some wings,
yes,
when he comes up to speak to the pilot.
Yeah, but it doesn't even come to that, because then of course, the marshal shows up. So now the marshal, who by
that
the
was
way
was on your plane,
yes,
I mean,
yes,
you had okay.
We apparently had a marshal on the plane, because
did you identify the air marshal ahead of time, Liz?
No.
As no, okay,
no. But he was pretty much central casting air marshal Julie. This guy was super studly. He was like wearing blue jeans, like a plaid shirt, a badge, he looked very martially. So if I had given it any thought, I might have picked him out of the crowd. So he comes back and he's like, "Sir, I need you to calm down. When we land, everyone else but you will be getting off the plane." And okay, he did not really respond that well to that. And so then he had to get him up out of his seat. Anyway, so we land. Now, all of these people who are late for their connections, right? So there are probably 100 people on the plane that are late for their connections. They're going to be even later because now we're just sitting on the tarmac while the marshal gets this guy out of his seat, takes him all the way to the back of the plane instead of the front of the plane, just to get him away from the rest of the passengers. But because we're sitting on the tarmac for a long time, not at a gate, people think we're there and they get up and they start taking all their bags out, you know, so it's that kind of mayhem. People are just getting off that plane. They don't really care if we're at a jetway. They don't care if we pulled up to a gate. They are getting off the plane. So then they have to make all of the announcements. I mean, it's just, it's mayhem on the plane. So then it's like, could everyone please get back in your seat? So everyone has to put their bags out. And all the Hawaii people, there was a whole group of Hawaii people that made a break for it, just ran to the front of the plane.
Oh no.
So that when we did get to a jetway, they were going to get off first. And I really thought that was very clever of them because at this point, the marshal was otherwise occupied. It's not like the marshal was going to take them down for trying to make their Kona connection. And this guy is now standing up and he's just like whining and yelling and this and talking.
Oh, really?
About,
he's still
he has no idea he's in trouble now, Julie. He's still at this point. And so now we sit on the tarmac for a while. Finally, we pull up to the gate. You know, we open the gate. They open the gate at the jetway, the door. And the first thing that happens, of course, is six cops board the plane.
Oh,
so, yeah. So now we have a whole log jam at the front. The Hawaii people are bumping into the cops and everyone else who's missing their flights. It was just really, really a sad situation. So the finally, you know, I tried to let everyone who clearly was missing a connection go by me. And then you get off the plane and, of course, we're an hour and a half late getting in. So the connecting flight, all the people that think they're getting on this plane are sitting there all crammed into the waiting area. And I just looked at them and I just wanted to say sadly, like, I'm sorry. Your plane is broken. There's no way this plane is going out now. Because, I mean, this guy, the cascading effect is the guy has now screwed up the whole next flight.
Oh.
Right? Because they're going to have to, they can't fly a plane with like a whole big part of the ceiling that somebody has pulled out. So it was such a simple thing that escalated to create the maximum amount of problems for everyone involved. The maximum amount of problems for people on my flight, people on the next flight, the board flight attendants, the cops, and this guy, like, I don't know whether he was just whether it was like anxiety overcame him, or maybe he was just a jerk, or maybe he was drunk. I really have no idea. But it's just an example of like one simple thing on an airplane can just bring the whole thing down. I mean, thank God we were already landing in Los Angeles, because otherwise, at that point, I'm sure they would have had to land the plane somewhere.
Right. You would have had to go back to Salt Lake.
Yeah,
right.
We would have had to do something. So thank goodness we were at least close to the airport. So that's just a little bit of midair mayhem that makes for when you've worked a whole weekend too. That's fun to have that as your flight home. So then I get home. And within like an hour, I feel this flu coming on. You know that feeling?
Yeah.
That just all of a sudden it settles on you?
Yeah, you get the creepy crawlies and...
Exactly.
You just feel...
You run a fever.
Yes. All of the above. So I barely slept on Sunday night. Monday morning, I woke up. I felt like I had been hit by a truck. So I didn't go to work Monday. There was like no chance. I didn't go to work Tuesday. Wednesday, I was attempting to rally and almost burned down my home in the process. So here's what happened.
This is some week you're
having. I know, it was terrible. I'm telling you.
Of course, Liz, I have to ask, you know, what did our mother always tell us to do?
I know, flu shot, Julie. I know. I did not get a flu shot this year.
Okay.
Mom would just pester us till we just couldn't stand it anymore and got our flu shots.
Right. She would hound us to get flu shots. Yes.
So, yeah, I know. I know it's totally my fault.
Okay.
But Wednesday, I'm like, okay, I got to try to rally. This is ridiculous. I got to get into work, maybe even just in the afternoon. So in the morning, at midday, I thought, okay, I'm just going to get up. I had some chicken soup. I'm just going to heat up some chicken soup, see if that, you know, if that I can rally enough to like take a shower, get dressed, and maybe even just go into the office for a couple of hours, just to like get on top of things. So I heat up the chicken soup and then I go back into my room. And I shut the door, and I get back in bed. And then the office called about something. So I was talking on the phone to the office for a second. And then I hear this knocking on my bedroom door, which is unusual because I live alone. And
Liz!
Somebody is knocking on my bedroom door. And I open, and it's Mark the dog walker. And the reason he's knocking on my bedroom door, luckily for me, he has come in midday to walk Ferris the way he normally would because I would be at work. But he has realized that, of course, I've left the soup on the stove. Oh, so there's smoke billowing out of the kitchen. And he manages.
Which I'm sure is an infraction in your apartment building, Liz.
Yeah. So he manages to, like, save the day, like, to save the soup, you know, save the kitchen. And I'm just looking at this smoke, and I mean, thank God what happens? I don't even know the answer to this. Like, if you leave something on the stove and it just burns,
the pan can ignite.
Even like stainless steel soup, it can actually ignite.
I think it can cause a fire.
I think it can too. But I was trying to figure out how. Anyway, luckily I did not find out. So. So Wednesday was the day that that my dog walker saved my life. So that was good. Just another reason why I've often said to you, he is the linchpin to my whole operation. And now he proved it again.
And this is only midweek, Liz.
This is only midweek. Oh yeah, the week continued to get worse. But so okay, but here's the thing I did manage to take in this week. Because I was home sick, really just laying in bed, you know, listening to the radio or trying to sleep. Were you following at all the news story here in Southern California about the manhunt for the three guys that escaped from the Santa Ana jail? Anyone follow any of that?
I read a little bit about it and it just surprised me because they were in a maximum security jail.
That is correct.
How they got out is amazing.
It is.
They had inside help, right?
This is what is fascinating to me about the story. So these three guys, these are three scary-looking dudes.
Very bad guys.
Yes.
I mean, they're done.
I'm going to get into that a little bit. So somehow they managed to escape from a maximum security jail. They cut through three layers of steel, metal, and rebar. They slipped through the pipes and the air ducts and things and somehow got up to the roof of the jail and then used a rope made of bed sheets to rappel down the side of the building. It sounds like a movie. Like, you can't believe this stuff happens in real life. But here's the part that is especially like a movie. So midway through the week, they arrested the part-time English as a second language teacher at the jail for helping them break out. This is always amazing to me that this happens, that somehow women fall for these prisoners and end up allowing themselves to be manipulated in such a way as to free them. So apparently what happened here is that she is an ESL teacher. She was working at the jail, but she's also a children's book author. She and one, like the main bad dude, the one who, by the way, was in for torture, which is crime, right? So they are both of Iranian descent, and somehow, even though he speaks English perfectly well and like graduated from high school in America and was in the Marine Corps, he started taking her English as a second language class, clearly as a way to manipulate her. And they fell into a relationship that now the police have described as far closer than appropriate. Uh-huh. So this Iranian woman, this is what amazes me about all of these tales. She has a master's in French literature from the University of Tehran. She studied in Paris, moved to the U.S., got another master's for teaching English as a second language. She speaks English, French, Farsi, and Arabic fluently. She writes children's books. And yet somehow this guy that was in jail for torture convinced her to give him a Google Maps printout showing the roof of the jail. Isn't that amazing when that happens?
I know that, but he had obviously had strong powers of persuasion, manipulation to, you know, I guess.
Yes, he obviously targeted her.
Yeah.
And, you know, and probably got himself put in this class because she was Iranian and he felt like there would be some way that he could emotionally manipulate her. But her friends are all, and her employers are all in the paper at the end of the week, like, in a million years, this is not what we would have expected. Her name is Nushafarin Ravaghi, 44 years old. She looks like a very nice person. And somehow now she's in jail. And, well, they finally caught him yesterday. So anyway, just like a shocking story. So she's Googling for him. I felt like saying, well, maybe you should have Googled him. Because when you read the actual crime that he was actually in jail for, let's just say part of the
You wouldn't want him in his your ESL class.
Yeah, sure. I mean, part of his crime was cutting off a very delicate body part of someone he was torturing. So anyway, so this is the bad for so Nushafarin Ravaghi is now in jail. Like, it's just an amazing, amazing tale. The good news for women in this story is that they got caught yesterday in a Whole Foods parking lot, which I think is kind of hilarious. So they were in a white van in a Whole Foods parking lot, and it was just a local woman who drove by, saw the van that fit the description of what she had seen. It's been all over the news here all week, and then alerted the police. So there's like a $200,000 reward. So I think the nice lady in the Whole Foods parking lot is at least going to get a piece of the $200,000 reward. But anyway, it reminded me, like, remember those guys that escaped last year from that prison in upstate New York?
Right. It was the same thing where they just convinced this woman
Yes.
They threw her in. And I guess, I mean, it's not that uncommon of, you know, that you have these prison romances between prisoners and people that work at a prison or have the contact with the prisoners. I mean, it happens all the time. I think it just becomes normal or something. Maybe you must not see them as criminals, you know, or you must somehow, you forget about the terrible crimes that put them in this maximum prison to begin with, you know?
You're totally right, Julie. It is, you know, it is amazingly common, and it just, like, blows my mind every time it happens.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause it's a level of sort of emotional manipulation that is really, really hard to imagine. Anyway, so they're all three back in jail, so... So you can
rest. You don't have to worry about that this week.
No.
I thought you were going to tell me that somehow they ended up at your apartment building. That's where I thought you were going with this story.
No. That is the good news. More tales of terrible things later on in the show. But let's lighten the mood, Julie. How did your move go?
That's right, Monica and Liz. I moved. I just, you know, we did a lot because we were just moving locally. We have been on a 2-year search to find the perfect empty nester pad. I think we found it. It's just great being here. We bought a single story, small house, pretty close to the grandchildren. So I'm really excited about that in our same zip code. So I don't have to learn another zip code, which
it's too late for that.
I just didn't think I could do that. I just didn't think I could do, you know, have to like, oh, you have to change your zip code again. I just couldn't do it. So I'm very happy about that. And we had sort of plotted out, you know, because we hired some guys to move the heavy furniture. And we had figured out exactly where in the new house we wanted all the furniture. So that worked out great. The weather has been beautiful here in Dallas. We haven't had any rain. So the move went very smoothly. And then my husband had to leave on a business trip. So I'm home alone in the new house. I want you to know, other than the sofa sleeper, I have moved by myself now every single piece of furniture that we brought into the house. Again, you know how it is? You get into the house and you're like, no, I don't like that there at all. Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. And so now by myself, I am dragging giant chairs, coffee tables, you know, just all, I mean.
That's good exercise.
I'm exhausted from that, but I'm.
Do you think you have found? Is it perfect yet?
Things. I have this theory about things, like they are going to float to the right place. Well, I did some dragging to help those things get to the right place, but I've been pretty busy, you know, unpacking all week. But I noticed that I needed a couple, like just a little, like an extra set of drawers for a closet to store some things. So I went to IKEA, which I have not been to since I lived in Russia. And I know, I just want to offer a little defense of IKEA. I know a lot of people criticize it, and that's, you know, a big step in your life when you don't have to use IKEA furniture anymore. I think IKEA is great. Can I just say that? I mean, maybe I'm nostalgic about it because I really got to know IKEA well when we lived in Moscow, Russia. I mean, there really wasn't a lot of retail in Russia when we were living there. So IKEA was there, and it was such a bright and cheery place that a lot of times I would go with like other women, and we would just go for coffee and cookies to IKEA because it was kind of nice there, you know. It was mm-hmm. Swedish, and I had that same sensation when I went to IKEA on Saturday yesterday, you know, which I know, Monica, people, oh, that's terrible. It's the worst place on earth. Not at all. You know, it's sort of like an indoor park setting. You know, they have the little path that you take.
Right.
And you have all these lovely vignettes. You know, they've set
like
up
touring a little village in Sweden.
You can see that. And all the people there, you know, you have young couples that are holding their hands and, you know, like planning for their first apartment. You have like parents with their grown kids and they're buying stuff. You have elderly couples, you know, you have nice whole families that are on the pathway, traveling through time at IKEA. I think it's kind of nice there. I love it that when you get to the kids area, all the kids are jumping on the beds and they're climbing up the bunk beds and playing with the toys and nobody cares. You know, it's fine. It's
IKEA.
It's IKEA. All the fabrics are bright. The lights are bright. The plants are all green. And I bought a Grundtall, a Malm, and a Scub. I bought three items.
Say those again.
A Grundtall, a Malm, and a Scub. You know, this whole
system, sound great.
Don't they sound great? You know, the whole, you know, the how they got the names at IKEA. It was a system that was developed by the founder of IKEA, Ingvar Kamprad, and he's dyslexic. So he didn't want any numbers on his boxes for, you know, the inventory because that was, he still as an adult had a terrible dyslexia. So he just names them after like all the furniture, like the couches and things, they're all named after places in Sweden. Oh. The beds, the wardrobes, those are Norwegian names. Dining tables and chairs, those are Finnish names. The bookcases, they're all occupations. Those are Swedish words for occupations.
I had no idea.
The Scandinavian lake rivers and bays, that's all the bathroom stuff and accessories.
Julie, maybe you should get a job at IKEA.
I was looking at those blue and yellow shirts. I thought I would enjoy it very much.
It's just your happy place.
It really was a happy place for me. You know, I mean, the fabrics are all women's names and the kitchens are all Swedish grammatical terms.
Oh, okay. Well, see,
so anyway, it's all going well. And I got a couple of Swedish things and I just don't be bad. Don't be hard on IKEA. It's a little like Southwest Airlines. You know what you're paying for. You know, I mean, it is not okay. It's not a high-end furniture store. It's not pretending to be.
It's not priced as that either. So
right. It is what it is, and they have delicious coffee and cookies. And I think they've gotten that horse meat out of the meatballs now. I bought a bag of them to bring.
You did. Wow. So you are fully committed to this brand.
Yes, I am, Liz. Yes, I am. So I'm going to put together this afternoon my Grüntal and my Malm, okay, and hang up my Scubs, okay? Good. Or maybe I'm hanging up the Grüntal and assembling the Malm and the Scub. One of those two. I'll let you know.
Good luck.
Julie, I'll have to give it another try because I've only been to IKEA once. And that was about 10 years ago when the one opened in Portland. I've never been back.
It's a very pleasant experience, Monica. I'd be happy to be your IKEA guide. I know all the shortcuts and everything too. So,
yeah, I know you get trapped in there. You can get trapped on the path. Well, I had a good week, Liz. Sorry to hear you did not.
I'm glad you did though, Monica.
Did. Very nice week. So it started out last weekend, my neighbors across the street. Now you remember, these are the ones that I backed my car into their house a couple years ago.
Yes.
Well, my car hit their house.
Yes, you weren't in the car at the time, which is both good and bad.
The car itself reversed down my driveway across the street and hit their house. Anyways, they're very nice, really nice couple. We have quite a few new people that have moved in. So last Sunday night, they had a soup party. And it was just come for soup Sunday evening, bring something or not. That's what they said.
Oh, I like that. I like the idea of a soup party and the bring something or not. That's a good thing.
Casual, all ages invited. I made a nice little, I thought it was nice, little cheese cracker charcuterie plate. Brought that over. So it was nice. We had a nice time and I got sort of those awkward conversations with your new neighbors out of the way, where you're kind of talking across the driveway, because I haven't really talked to my new neighbors. So here we were in a party setting, got to introduce ourselves. Everything was good. Now someone suggested we do it every month. And
that is too frequent. Don't you think?
I think
quarterly is nice.
I said nothing but the bubble above my head. In my thought bubble was twice a year. It's kind of like summer and winter soup party, or maybe an outdoor soup party. So I just smiled.
Remember on Burton Drive when we lived together in Portland, we had a twice a year thing.
Yeah, twice a year.
There was a summer party and a holiday party. It was nice.
That seems good.
So all my neighbors were talking about this social media site. And it's called Nextdoor. Have you heard of it? Liz, no. I'm sure you haven't because...
It's about how to be friendly neighbors. So, of course, nobody in my building would know about that.
So it's Nextdoor. And every neighborhood has one. And you join it. You sign up. It's like a Facebook page. And you get these email blasts about things happening in your neighborhood. Lost dogs, stuff for sale, volunteer opportunities. So I thought, well, I'll just give it a whirl because everyone's like, oh, you're not on Nextdoor? You should be on Nextdoor because I might need, you know, some help someday or handyman help. So I signed up for it. Now I can see how it would take up quite a lot of time. And I don't really have that kind of time right now. But when I'm retired, I think I'm going to become an active member of Nextdoor. But it's just a nice thing to do. You know,
so you monitor what's going on your street and then just post that?
People post things, help they need, lost dogs, stuff for sale, events in the neighborhood. It's just like a Facebook page for your neighborhood.
Very nice.
Neighbors. And when I signed up, I got about 14 emails like, welcome neighbor. So it felt very neighborly. So takes up a lot of time, though. I don't really have time for that right now, but I'm thinking of it. So just one little note. People that live down the street, they have this darling little girl. Her name is Garrity, which is a very sweet name. She's adorable. She's, you know, climbing all over the furniture, very cute. And they are expecting another baby, these neighbors. And so I said, oh, the name Garrity, that's pretty. Is that a family name? They said, no, well, you know, we love that show, Friday Night Lights.
Oh.
They said, so we named her after Lila Garrity because we love that character. And in my mind, I was thinking, why didn't you name her Lila? But
another thought bubble was going on.
Another thought bubble was coming up. And boy, she said, well, we have to come up with another name. And I said, well, the obvious choice would be Riggins. I said, how about just Coach Taylor? Just one word, Coach Taylor. I think that would be nice. So it was nice. Finally met my neighbors, onward and upward with nextdoor.com or whatever it is.
That sounds nice. That sounds like a good development on your street.
Yes, yes.
And so how are things going in your house? You've been a Netflix trial.
No, I just had a little thought bubble in my head, which first. I know, so I signed up for the Netflix 30-day free trial. And people on our Satellite Sisters Facebook page want to know, Jules was like, fess up, Monica. Have you signed up for it full-time? Larice said, welcome to the Hooked in 30 Days Club. Now, I am enjoying Netflix. What I'm finding is I'm staying up really late at night for me. I normally go to bed about 9:45, but we're talking, I am clocking some hours watching Netflix. Yes. Been enjoying it. And my theme is I'm trying to balance the dark with the light.
So good, Monica.
So I started with Nurse Jackie. I'd only seen a couple of episodes of it. People said it was a great show, and it's very dark, because it's about, you know, addiction, which is a dark subject. But it's excellent. So I balanced that with Gilmore Girls. Because I enjoy Gilmore Girls. So I'm through season one of Gilmore Girls. And it's nice. I already know the story arc for most of the characters. But it's just fun to see Rory be a teenager again. And Rory growing up. And, you know, think about being back in Stars Hollow. Like, my favorite part of Gilmore Girls, though, is Suki. Is Melissa McCarthy. Because, you know, that was really her first big role that I knew about her. So
I have never seen a single episode of Gilmore Girls.
Liz,
It is so feel good. I think you would love it.
It's girl power. Liz, you should definitely.
I mean, I know they're reviving it. So they're, you know, maybe I need to see the original so that I'm ready for the new Gilmore Girls.
Yes, that's the whole reason I tuned into it, because I know they're reviving it and I wanted to get refreshed and caught up. It's really a charming show, really charming. So I saw that. And then again, back to the dark, I went, Sheila suggested I watch Top of the River. Oh, Top of the Lake. I'm sorry.
Close enough.
Oh my God, I can't believe I just said that. Top of the Lake. Now, this is a very dark crime story. It's Australian. It stars Elizabeth Moss is the detective, but I know there's only 7 or 8 episodes. And then I read they were also bringing back that series, this year. So I'm going to be ready. So I would recommend that Top of the Lake.
Okay. I've not watched that.
Very good. Very good. Crime drama story. So that's it. So I've got eight more days left.
But you're really going to give it up at the end of the 8 days? You're not tempted to?
I am tempted, Julie. I am enjoying it, I have to say. Yeah. I'll tell you next weekend.
Oh, okay.
Okay. The door is open.
8 days, a lot of Gilmore Girls left. I'm on my way.
I mean, there's just so many other shows you haven't seen that are on Netflix that I just... And I know that other, you know, on our Facebook group, people are recommending other shows for you to watch too. Shows that I haven't seen. So,
you're not going to get any sleep this week at all.
No.
Okay. Okay. Well, Liz, I am sorry you had such a terrible week, and I suppose you've got to get back on a plane this coming week.
That's correct. Tomorrow morning.
Oh, Liz. All right. But I saw something today, and I was like, "This is for Liz," because you are like traveling like a maniac. But I know when you go and you get to stay at some pretty nice business hotels, but I am sure that you never like book yourself a massage or do anything to relax once you get there, right?
No.
You just, no, of course not. Well, they have a new sort of trend, which is now in at least in one chain, the JW Marriott chains, they are offering something new. It's called 12 to 25 minute massage, because they realize people like you don't have time to like book in advance. You don't have time for like a 90-minute massage, but you might have 12 minutes to get a scalp massage or shoulder massage.
Oh, that sounds great.
Exfoliation and moisturizing that you just sit in a chair that are tricked out with scent infusers and noise canceling technology and smartphone charging stations.
Oh,
doesn't that sound good?
It does sound good. As soon as you said scalp massage, my scalp just tingled thinking about that, Julie. That would be, after a little midair mayhem, what you need is a scalp massage.
I had no idea that you had to deal with that in your seat last week on the plane, but I thought this is a really good idea because, I mean, you don't have time to, like, when you get to a hotel, like, oh, well, gee, maybe I'd like to have some kind of treatment. No. And then you call, and of course, all the slots are taken. But 12 minutes, that might make you feel better. That might perk you
up. The key is 12 minutes right now. Like, I'm available right now. Like, I don't know if I have 12 minutes later today. But, like, right now, I can look ahead at the next 20 minutes and see the 12 of them are available.
Okay. Liz, it's so funny you just expressed that opinion about the urgency, because the headline for this story was a massage, please. And make it snappy.
Oh,
I think that's what it is. So these are at the JW Marriott, Liz. And right now, they only have them in a couple of hotels. So,
okay, where do I have to go?
One shot. If you have any business in Houston, at the downtown Houston, or there's one also at the Mumbai JW.
Oh, okay. All right.
In India. But I think that just based on your reaction, Liz, I believe that this is something that is going to catch on and you should be on the lookout for it. Or just when you go to your hotel, just tell them you only want a 12-minute scalp massage and see what they say. Just force them to have that treatment for you, Liz.
Right. Okay. And could I do it sitting at the bar? Is that possible? Because that would be good. You're just sitting there enjoying yourself and somebody's massaging your scalp.
Okay. Liz, that is a big idea. Okay. Well, here's a big idea that's coming out. Again, it makes me so sad. This is really like sad news as far as I'm concerned, that kitchens are now becoming man caves. Okay. That because of the because of the popularity of, you know, of food shows, and food as a hobby, that more and more men are like in the kitchen, and now they are driving what is designing, you know, how kitchens are being designed, which I think is kind of sad. So first of all,
can I just say, I have noticed that on all those HGTV shows, all those flipper shows and Love It or Listed and all of that.
It's the man that wants the nice kitchen.
That it's always, they always have the man saying, you know, I'm a serious cook, so I need this and that. And yeah, I have observed that as a trend, or at least they're trying to make that a trend.
But right. Julie, I want to say, I read that article.
Yes.
And I don't know if you're going to comment on the burnt wood slab countertops.
Yes, that's
because that was the lead-in picture, like dark, heavy, thick wood with char marks in it. Now, Liz, that might be something you would want to look into.
That's what you were working on in your kitchen this past week.
Would obscure the damage that I will do. Yeah,
you were on trend, Liz, on trend.
This is what's going to happen to kitchens, because men want like burnt. They want hardwoods. They want, you know, big, heavy materials. They want larger platters. Everything's going to weigh more. They want taller counters. They want appliances that have like a lot more BTUs. I mean, you cannot have enough BTUs. You know, they want all the handles on their pots to be bulked up. They want things built in, you know, it's just, it makes me sad, you know, I mean, it makes, they want two sinks. For some reason, men insist on two sinks when they're designing a kitchen. I don't get it.
It all sounds like it's going to look like a steakhouse.
You know? Like an industrial steakhouse. That's what guys like. But it is interesting that if a man is in charge of picking out the appliance package for a kitchen, they will spend 30% more than women will.
Really?
Yes. So that's bad news. That means, and of course, like if you're going to spend 30% more, those are the kind of people, we're going to better design kitchens for men, you know? I don't know. Even Porsche is getting into the kitchen business now. They have a whole Porsche design studio, Porsche appliances for the kitchen.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. And men want like really jazzy colors, like race car colors in the kitchen, which is wrong. It should be white. It should be muted, like Martha Stewart told us. You know, it shouldn't be like race car Ferrari red. But that's what men want in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm. Liz, you know we love talking about Framebridge, don't we?
We do.
because
there are just so many fun things to frame, Leon, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting Framebridge experience. Would you like to share?
I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing to get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah. Any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leon, they have already frame-bridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the Framebridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift-giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame, and Framebridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but Framebridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds like...
But you're going to be happy, okay? And that's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be out. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or see a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's framebridge.com. Thanks, Framebridge. Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, do we... We love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life. Aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
No kidding. I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils, I love it all. That duo they have going. Oh. Like, you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the Mega Moisture Duo.
Yes.
You can literally see your skin get firmer, and it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know we have raved about the Undaria Algae Body Oil. Mm-hmm. Well, pair that with the Undaria Collagen Body Oil. Youthful glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undaria seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SAD Sisters. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SAD Sisters at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Osea is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea.
So, well, in your new house, is the kitchen suitable for you? You like the kitchen?
It's suitable for me. It's totally fine.
Nothing is charred.
No, there's nothing charred. There's no...
Not a big, like wrought iron fixtures.
No, I don't have big giant handles on things and extra broilers and extra ovens. And so anyway, it's just fine. But it's all just added toys that you really don't need. Mm-hmm. I don't think so. I think it's sad news.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Speaking of men and man caves, I went to the Portland Auto Show yesterday and I had the best time. I went by myself. The reason it's like 80% men, mm-hmm. just a big line of men going into the car show. So be a good place to meet men.
You should take your sister Sheila with you. There you go.
If you wanted to. I have you guys ever been to a car show?
Yes, they are fun. They are really fun.
So fun. And people at work, I told them I was going, they said, oh, that sounds stupid. It isn't stupid. You get to sit in all these cars. And you just sit in the cars and there aren't those pesky car salesmen bothering you about prices and talking to you. And I like when you get to sit in the car, you just sit there in the driver's seat, and then a complete stranger gets in the passenger seat. And you start chatting and make jokes about where you're going and is this a car for you? And then other strangers climb in the back seat and ooh and ah over everything. So it was just really, really a fun day. And I test drove 5 cars.
So, really?
Yes. They have test driving. So first I made my rounds and I made the mistake of going to the luxury upper deck first. Uh-huh. And it was quite a come down when I went downstairs and
into your personal price range.
Right. The cars for the masses. So, but I did enjoy the luxury cars. I even sat in there was a BMW that was like $110,000 and it had bright lipstick red leather seats inside, Julie.
See, that's it. That's what men want, right?
It was like the size of an army tank, you know, with just gigantic leather lipstick red seats inside. Well, it was $110,000. So the good thing was, you know, I'm sort of in the market next year for a new car, and I just wanted to sit in all the cars I was interested in and rule some of them out, because if I can't see out the back window, I'm not buying a car.
That's your litmus test.
That's my rule. So I'm interested in a small SUV. So I wanted to love the Honda CR-V. It's the best selling small SUV on the market, very highly rated, but I don't like that car. I can't see out the back window. There's too many gewgaws in the front. And speaking of which, there are many cars, and I'm sure if you've driven a new car lately, what happened to the steering wheel? It is nothing but flippers, paddles, levers, there's sticks, there's sub sticks. There are so many things going on the steering wheel. That is a complete turnoff to me. I want 2 sticks, a blinker on the left and a windshield wiper thing on the right. That's all I need.
Old school.
Right. As soon as I
think that's, like, they have that in the Rambler, Monica, or something. Maybe you can find that.
Good. As soon as I see like 3 levels of paddles and flippers and sticks, that's a turnoff for me. So Honda CR-V, sorry, I won't be getting that car. I did test drive the 2 Mazdas, the Mazda CX-3, too small for me, and then the Mazda CX-5, too big for me. Okay. So,
so you need a CX4. Obviously, you need a CX4.
I do.
They make one.
I better. The Mazda already emailed me this morning, asked me how my test drive. Maybe I should suggest that to them. But I did. I test drove a really cute car. It was a Golf, electronic VW Golf, fully electronic. So you just plug it in, like plug and play.
Darling. Electronic or electric?
Electric. 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 Plug and play.
Oh.
Didn't make so cute, so quiet, no engine noise, very quiet, so impractical. You can only go 80 miles. So you really can't leave town.
No.
And that's what the guy driving with me told me. He goes, really, it's just for doing errands around town. And I was thinking, well, that's not really a practical car for me. I did drive, I'm interested, obviously, in the Subaru, which has my name all over it. I know it's the car I should buy with the all-wheel drive, little small station wagon. I drove both of them, the Outback, which was fancier, and the Forester, which I liked. But I just was surprised. Those cars are so expensive. Mm. They're like $38,000.
Really?
Wow.
Yes. Well, the top of the line with the leather seats, cars are really expensive. Like a lot of the cars there say they start at $25,000, but you really can't get much for $25,000. So that
well,
was...
It sounds like you only want a wiper and a blinker, so maybe you can make a good deal, Monica.
Get a stripped down version.
Yeah, but you might want the leather seats, Monica.
I do want leather seats. I do want heated seats. I don't want I don't want blind spot indicators. I don't want cameras and going out the front of the car or the back of the car. I don't want any of that, but that's what stuff comes with. But I would say my favorite car, I mean, I sat in many beautiful cars and there was one where I sat in there and I just dreamed it was my car, and seeing no one else at the auto show was interested in this car, I sat in there for about 20 minutes. And that was, I know people aren't going to love this car. It was a BMW 3 Series station wagon. Oh. This car was bright white. It had this beautiful light beige leather seats. Mm. I could see myself in that car for the rest of my life.
Nice.
That was my dream car. That dream car was about $30,000 more than I have in my budget. And I'd be embarrassed to park it in my driveway. it would not fit in my driveway. It would not fit in my driveway. But had a great time at the car show. Really great time. Saw a lot of great cars. Still interested in VWs. I thought when I went home, when I left the car show, at first I thought, oh God, I'm going to have to walk home because getting my car is going to be so disappointing. But it wasn't. I love my car. I love the size of it. There's two sticks, it's a blinker and a windshield wiper. There's no cameras. It drives great. So anyways, fun day at the car show. I mean,
maybe you should just wait. If you wait another year or two, the self-driving cars will be out, and then they'll just have no sticks because you won't have to do any of that.
The
car will be doing everything you need it to do.
Yeah. It was fun. You know what was an awfully cute car was the Fiat, the Pope Mobile. Remember the one, the Pope?
Oh, the Fiat 500.
Those are adorable cars.
That car is adorable, and it's very spacious inside. It kind of looks like it might fall apart after a short while, but that was a darling car. That was a really, really cute car. I liked that a lot.
They have teeny tiny wheels, Monica, on those Fiats. It would never make it up that mountain that you could go to Bend.
Yeah.
So, but it's good for popes touring around locally, I think. That's about it. Sisters, I have to ask you, I have a situation, and I'm embarrassed about this, but I don't know if you have ever experienced this, and I don't know if it's a medical situation that I need to take to the next.
Julie, are you addicted to cheese?
No.
Addicted to cheese?
No.
Cheese, because that was in the news again this week. but she's treating cheese addictions.
Cheese addictions. No, my issue is I have what I can only describe as deflated fingertips that stick with me. So that when I use a keypad or when I'm trying to swipe on my phone, occasionally my fingertips are not working. They are just, I don't know whether they're because they're calloused from all the like packing and moving or what, but I cannot swipe. Today I was at the grocery store and you have to enter on a keypad, a item number. And I couldn't,
that's really strange.
So it's a fingertip situation. I think it's because I'm the oldest sister. Is it just an aging thing or is it something?
Liz, summer is coming up and you know what that means? It means you're grilling and chilling there with your butcher box. What do you got going on the grill this summer?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Because I'm going to be up in Bend for a part of the summer, yeah. I'm having my box sent there, Leanne.
That's great.
Go on vacation with your butcher box is what I'm recommending. Yeah, either way, you're just going to buy meat and fish and stuff when you get there. Why do that? Anyway, I love their steaks. I love their scallops. The scallops are really good. And the chicken thighs, all good. I'm ready.
That's right. Butcher Box gives you peace of mind and easy to find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. No antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. And you can customize that delivery plan, Liz, right? Because it can go wherever you want it to go, whenever you want it to go. If you want to delay it a week, you know, speed it up a week, you just go to your ButcherBox account and you can make that all happen.
It's so easy to manage online.
Yeah. And if you're like Liz, you can take your ButcherBox on vacation, which is... That's nice to have something familiar there.
Yes.
So if you want to take your meat on vacation, sign up at butcherbox.com/sisters and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. So you can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to choose your free for a year offer, plus get $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox. Hey, it's Liz and Leanne here, and we want to thank PROS for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. Mm-hmm. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz, my hair from PROS is getting rave reviews.
Leanne, I am not surprised. You have been on that PROS hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, PROS is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Leanne Dolan? Yes, I do. I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, PROS, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Leanne's. Okay? And I'm using it. PROS isn't just better for you. It's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. So, PROS, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos, too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Leanne and then post it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, PROS. PROS is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin. They're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And PROS is spelled PROSE. pros.com/sisters. Thanks, PROS.
You mean like they're not fleshy the way they used to be? Would you say deflated?
They're a little wrinkled. I didn't want to use the word wrinkled, Liz.
Deflated.
Deflated, like a deflated fingertip that are just doesn't. Sometimes my phone will ring. I can see someone's there, and I'm swiping to answer the phone, and and nothing's happening. So. You don't have you ever heard of this? Is this a situation?
I have never heard anyone complain about deflated fingertips. No.
No. I mean, it's not dehydration.
I don't know what it is, Monica. I mean, maybe I'm a little dehydrated from moving and stuff, or it's calluses because I have been wrapping and unwrapping a lot of things. So maybe that's it. But or maybe it's just this happens as you get older, you know, your fingertips
are not fully functional.
Fully functional. So I'm just going to put that out to the Satellite Sisterhood because you don't have any information.
No, I cannot help you with that. But okay. They did help with the twitchy eyelids.
Well, that's what I thought, Liz. I know that I felt like you got some good solid information about twitchy eyelids from our Satellite Sisterhood. Perhaps there are other people that are have deflated fingertips.
You can start your own support group.
I'm going to have to get special gloves.
All right. Well, we are getting close to the point where I think we need to wrap this up. I did, though, yesterday, Saturday, I had errands and things to do because, of course, I'll be out of town all this week. So I started my day, as you would when you're having, like, a terrible, terrible week. I started my day at urgent care, of course, because my flu has developed into a very deep and rumbling cough, which I normally wouldn't be that concerned about. It seems like a natural thing, and it's all kind of breaking it up. But if you sisters recall, over the past 3 years, I've had two different bouts of pneumonia,
yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. So normally I might have let it go another week or so, but because of the pneumonias I've had and because I'm getting on an airplane first thing Monday morning, I went to the urgent care yesterday, the super nice one near my home, and they hooked me up. They said the Z-Pak would be the way to go. What we're trying to prevent now, the doctor said, is bacterial bronchitis. So I was feeling pretty good about the fact that I went to the doctor. He listened, he prescribed something, and I was staving off bout number three of pneumonia. So then I doubled back and I went to the P.O. box, where all the Satellite Sisters mail comes. And usually I just transfer that mail directly into the trunk of my car and yes. Where it lives.
It's a good system you got there, Liz.
Where it lives for however long, it just naturally needs to be there. But there was a big box there that I had to go to the front desk at the mail drop place and they gave me this like gift box. And I thought, this is interesting. Okay, what do we have here? And it turns out it was a very large box of chocolates from my airline. And I just got to say, when your airline is sending you boxes of chocolates, there's something really wrong with your life.
Yes, there is.
Here it is. We're just 2 weeks away from Valentine's Day. And here's what I got from my airline. It's called a chocolate tasting journey. A world passport in 21 pieces. Yeah, so this isn't like some little box of Godiva, like, here you go, thanks. This was to thank me for spending so much time with them in 2015, blah, 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 blah. It said the intriguing confections in this box pay homage to the destinations you can explore, blah, 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 blah. Each piece was crafted by a master chocolatier to rekindle your memories of past trips. What, like last week's midair mayhem? My memories of past trips.
And maybe if you had the chocolate, you could have given it to the guy and it would have settled him down.
Like, awaken my curiosity for future adventures. So, yeah, for some reason, I found that to be just like a total bummer. Besides the fact that I've said on Satellite Sisters before, I think the worst gift you can give, like a single woman who lives alone, is like a big box of candy.
Right.
Nobody wants to be alone with a big box of candy.
That's true, Liz.
Like, do you agree with me, Monica?
It's just... Yes. Once for my 40th birthday, I was all alone, and someone sent me a big, giant, fudgy chocolate cake. And I was in a hotel room traveling at the time, and they thought this would be a nice thing. 40-year-old single woman alone in a hotel room with a fudgy chocolate cake.
It is not good.
It was not good, Liz.
It's like the most depressing situation to be alone with that much chocolate.
And plus you're getting like a Valentine's from your airline.
From your airline, exactly.
That's too much.
Yes.
That's really, that could be the worst gift ever, Liz.
Yeah. That's what I thought. And then I started like, okay, did they pick out chocolate just for me? Like, did men get boxes of chocolate? What did the men get? I bet the men didn't get boxes of chocolate. It is a beautiful box. It's a beautiful chocolate tasting journey. I'm not really on the market for any more journeys or any more chocolate.
I think you should leave it out in the lobby of your apartment building, Liz, and make some friends.
That's a nice idea, Julie. Everyone is labeled with a different country and has a little story attached to it. It is quite a spectacular presentation, but I think I'm just going to throw the whole thing away. But it did remind me on a much brighter note that we were thinking about Valentine's Day and how to use the upcoming holiday as a way to tell your friends how much you love your friends. And on Parks and Rec, they created a Galentine's Day. And I know, Julie, I know that you and Leon were talking about this on the show the other day, right?
Right. I think it's just a great idea for the Satellite Sisters that you invite your pals, your friends that have been there for you, invite them over. You can do lunch, you could do dinner, you could do drinks to tell them they're the best. And what there's nothing better than a copy of our new book, You're the Best, A Celebration of Friendship, as a way to thank your friends for being a friend. That's what I think.
Yeah, so it's just another brilliant idea from Amy Poehler. So Galentine's Day is the day before Valentine's Day, so that would make it a Saturday. It does seem like a fun time to organize something with your friends, and we would just encourage that. You know, it's a good way to take a little time with your own satellite sisterhood and thank them for being the best. Maybe I'll save my chocolate and have a little chocolate party. Like everybody can get a single piece of chocolate.
Yeah, chocolate and strawberries. There you go. Okay, you got it?
From somewhere in the world. Anyway, Galentine's Day, check it out, celebrate it. It does sound like a fun way to tell your friends that they're the best. Okay, so here we are. We're wrapping it up. You guys have anything major planned this week, Monica? Anything going on?
You know how much I enjoy seeing the Oscar-nominated short films?
Oh, yes.
A lot of movie theater show programs, like you get to see all the short action films that are nominated and all the short animation films. So I'm doing that this afternoon.
Oh, Woo. That sounds fun.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait to hear about that. That sounds great.
Okay. And Julie, besides putting your herb together or whatever it is, your grub.
My mom. I'm actually heading to Brooklyn, New York, Liz. I have a babysitting assignment. Urban Nana will be back on duty this week in Brooklyn, New York. Yep.
Oh, okay. Have fun.
Okay. Well,
I will be in transit, but I got the Z-Pack and I'm good to go.
And try to get one of those 12-minute scalp massages, Liz.
12-minute scalp massage. That is, they could even do that on airplanes, you know? Just somebody could stand behind you. Okay, this has been fun. It's always a pleasure to be together. We are the Satellite Sisters. Don't forget, call your satellite sister.